beyond NVIDIA SMI. So it will be a session regarding a beginner who is exploring GPUs and what are the pitfalls that he encounters. So I work at Percona as a quality engineer, and recently, due to the rise of GPU and AI, I was curious about GPUs, like how can I measure how much GPU performance is going on, right? So that was the core intention of, you know, going this session. So we will see how GPUs are, like the fundamentals of the GPU, common monitoring mistakes. Then we will look at an example, how you can identify potential leftover potential of your GPU. Then we will understand the key metrics which are needed. Then we will go into the workload-specific metrics, like what workload-specific metrics you need to make sure are working. And then we will see some utilities which are good. So, yeah. So GPUs are primarily comprised of compute, memory, and decoders. So unlike CPUs, compute portion of GPUs are very large, if you want to simplify things. And there are certain decoders specific to certain functions. Compute is the main thing here. And streaming multiprocessors are a vague way of saying that your computes are, you know, running. So it's a portion which is executing the computations based on the data types that you have. So yeah, there are three common mistakes that I found. Relying too much on NVIDIA SMI, it's a basic utility that you run. And you see, okay, I'm getting 100% GPU utilization. I'm getting this much DRAM utilization. I mean, it's a good thing. You can use it for certain workloads, but it is not saying you all the picture. So to identify that, you need to monitor other metrics. So there are three metrics which I was able to identify: the tensor core metrics, then SM utilization, and DRAM. So yeah, the combination of this tells you the picture, like what actually your workload is doing. So let us look at one example. We are watching NVIDIA SMI, and we are seeing 100% all the time. So obviously, we think like CPUs, it might be using 100% of my GPU. But it's actually wrong. If you look at only this metric and try to, you know, buy new GPUs, you will lose a lot of money. So it's not a reliable metric as such. So one such example is this. I ran an FP32 workload on the left-hand side and FP16 on the right-hand side. You can see that NVIDIA SMI is showing me 100% on both the cases. But is it actually true? I mean, why is it showing the same thing for both different workloads? Does that mean that I cannot run much more workload on it? So that is what we will see. So yeah, this is the case of idle tensor cores, where I'm using the same setup that was previously done, but we are showing what actually is going on in details. So there is this utility called DCGMI. So it's a data center monitoring tool by NVIDIA. Certain portion of it is open source. There are certain metrics which they are not releasing to the public, so that is proprietary, but it's the exporters and all those things, you can basically contribute to the project. So it's an open core utility, and you can see that in the first case, there is zero tensor core utilization, but on the other, it's using completely. Now, why is this happening? So by default on H100s and even on certain GPUs, FP32 is not tensor supported, so it is using CUDA cores instead of the tensor cores. So this behavior is due to that. And on the second one, when we ran around the FP16 workload, it is using the tensor cores, which means you are actually getting more out of your GPU compared to the previous one. So relying only on 100% utilization is a bad idea if you are trying to, you know, do this. So now we saw, we can conclude that GPU utilization is not same as GPU efficiency, because in this picture you can see a tensor core example. Tensor core has multiple supported data types that you can execute apart from the CUDA cores. So you need to understand your nature, the workload that is being executed, what are exactly data types they are using. Can they use the data types which tensor core supports? So yeah, but what are tensor cores actually? So they are basically matrix multiplication support hardware implementation by NVIDIA. So the hardware level, they are doing matrix multiplication, and that is what drives the entire AI workload. So that is one thing that you should take into consideration. So 100 SMI, what exactly does that mean? It simply measures how many SMs are doing work. Like, it simply measures if SMs are doing work, not exactly how many are doing work. It does not give you much activity details like SM activity or tensor core usage. So it's not good idea if you want much details. So how exactly is this utility working? So you install a data center package, then you start a service, which is a NVIDIA DCGM service. It runs in the backend. It collects the metrics, and yeah, you can monitor your metrics using the metrics code. So DCGM has a certain set of codes that you can use to monitor this thing. And it checks things at a certain duration of time. So it's a snapshot of a time. So it averages out for certain metrics. Okay, so what are the metrics that we should measure? So first of all, if you are running an AI inference workload, you should focus more on the tensor core utilization because it is the performance driven thing. And if you are not using that, you are leaving too much at the table. Then there is memory bandwidth. There is SM occupancy, SM activity, and estimation of the TFLOPs. So the performance benchmark that NVIDIA gives you, how much are you actually using? So you can get some estimation of the TFLOPs rather than, you know, writing code inside your models and all those things. So this is a diagram of tensor cores. So you can see there are multiple matrix multiplication as well as additions happening at the same time. So this is something that they implemented in their hardware. And if you are using that, you are speeding up your inference. So this is the thing that you should take into consideration. So one SM consists of multiple tensor cores. So this is just a portion of SM. There are many more in a GPU. So as I talked earlier, the potential performance improvement. So they have performance benchmarks, and you can see that particular data type workload, how much TFLOPs are expected, how much you can, you know, get out of it. So if you are using a simple CUDA core setup of FP16, you are getting only 120 TFLOPs. But if you use it using Tensor Core, you are getting around 1000 TFLOPs, which is like 8 to 10 times more faster. So that's the thing. Enable Tensor Cores whenever possible. So how can we monitor it? So there are certain codes that we discussed earlier. So these are the metrics which are collected by DCGM, and they have certain codes. What they actually check is written on the right-hand side. So yeah, the matrix multiplication is the key thing in case of tensors. So you have simple matrix multiplication, integral, FP16, which is half bit, and double precision, that is FP64. So these are the metrics that you should focus on and look at it. So this is an example of an FP16 workload. You can see that tensor cores are being used, but we don't know exactly what tensor cores are using. So we get details using certain codes. So yeah, this is an FP16 example. So you can see FP16 and tensor usage are same because they are using the same particular thing. So tensor is basically a generic overview of your tensor core usage, but the other three metrics are detailed view of those particular things. So yeah, this is another example of FP64 workload. So you can see double precision is something which is being shown. Similarly for int 8 workload. So what are actually SMs, SM metrics that we are looking at? So everything executes as a thread. So the block of threads is a combination called WRAP, and WRAP basically run on the streaming multiprocessors. So this is something that you should see. So SM occupancy is a metric that you should be aware of. So it is like SMs are occupied. The things are about to run. But what actually is running is seen using SM activity metric. So these are the two things. Now, one thing that you should keep in mind is that these metrics are averaged out. So you don't get exact value per SM. It's averaged over all the SMs that are available. So this is an example of a high occupancy workload. You can see that SM activity is around 0.97, but the SM occupancy is like 0.66. So this is actually doing some work if you try to infer from this. A low occupancy means that memory is being used, but the SMs that you are seeing, right, they are not doing much work. They are sitting idle for things. So that is one inference that you can do from this. So how can we measure TFLOPs? So as we saw, like certain things are being executed using SMs. So we can multiply those percentages. We can get idea like what exactly is happening using the peak TFLOPs which are given in the benchmark. So you take the peak TFLOPs, you multiply it with the SM activity as well as SM occupancy, and then you multiply it by the tensor activity that you have. So it will give you a brief idea an estimated idea. You don't get exact value out of it, but you can just identify that this thing is doing this portion of the given benchmarks. Where this might not work is for the burstable workload. Like if you have very variance in the workload, this is not a good idea to do, but for the stable workloads, this method will probably give you a good estimation. So yeah, things we should keep in mind. By themselves, GPUs are useless. You need CPUs, and CPUs are transferring things to the GPUs. Now, the thing is that this transfer is the bottleneck nowadays. You can get more compute, but the transfer of the data from the CPU memory to the GPU memory is where things are breaking. So one such observation you might see is that you get high SM occupancy, low SM activity, and a high VRAM. What this means is that you have so much stuff and so much activity, but you don't do things. So SMs are occupied, but they are doing very less work. That is what you can identify from this. And this is okay. If you get this kind of workload, it is assumed that it's an inference workload. Inference workloads don't use your GPUs to the fullest in terms of compute. Yeah, also the DCGMI utility that we saw has one more cool feature, like you can do certain profiles on it. So what do we mean by profile? Like for NVIDIA SMI, you can get brief idea about things. You can see the temperature as well, but you cannot monitor things using CLI. This utility has inbuilt that setup. So we set a policy for 60 degree centigrade temperature, and we are registering that policy. So when we run a workload, it will listen for violation. You can see on the top that temperature is rising. And as soon as it hits 60, it will give you a notification on the terminal. So rather than watching NVIDIA SMI using this, you can utilize it like this. And it by default monitors every 5 seconds. So yeah, the libraries which are being used are set to this. You cannot change those particular modules because they are controlled by NVIDIA. You can enable those modules. So that is something that you can do. Yeah, so this is a brief overview of the graph that we saw earlier, like what are the metrics, what are the DCGM codes, and what are the purpose of it. Now, comparing with the tools that are available out there. So DCGM is a good tool. It's an open core tool. It uses NVIDIA, but it is, like you can say, community driven as well. The exporters and all those things are something that you can contribute. NVIDIA SMI is a good thing, but it does not give you much detail. It is a very basic tool. So relying on it can give you bad, you know, inference. There are other tools which are proprietary. So for example, NSight Compute is a SM level activity that you can see. So it's specific to the kernel activity that you want to monitor. So it gives you more details. The NSight system is a macro level of your GPU, but these two are proprietaries. So yeah, monitoring solutions. Yeah, you can also set up an exporter of the DCGM. So they have the exporter available out there and combine it with Prometheus and Grafana. So you can create a dashboard out of it. So major workload, as we discussed, is FP32, the floating data types, how we can utilize them. There is also one more thing, that if you have an AI workload and it is using FP32, it can also be converted to the TensorFloat 32. So make sure that you identify that thing first whenever you try to run those things, because it will improve the performance. So as we discussed, memory bandwidth is the key thing here. So having a huge VRAM is not a good thing. Like if you have a good GPU which has large VRAM, but its memory bandwidth is low, you're not getting much out of it. You're simply loading models and you're not executing it faster. So that is one thing. So compute is going way faster right now. So yeah, that's it from my end.